Welcome to Groundwire, community radio news, brought to you by volunteers at Canada's community radio stations. This episode of Groundwire is produced by the National Coordination Team. I'm your host, Gretchen King, joining you from Montreal on the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe Nations. In this episode,
there is a huge rejection for this American unilateral decision on their behalf to move what's not theirs.
Low-income Manitobans, low-income Winnipeggers don't have the opportunity to cut back anywhere else in their budget. They don't have anybody else to put that shortfall onto.
But first up, here are the headlines. Our first headline comes from Michael Welch, programmer with CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on the occupied territory of the Anishinaabe and Nahiyawak and the homeland of the Red River Métis. A Winnipeg University instructor and broadcaster is taking the federal government to court over a decision of one of its agencies to allow the importation of wine labeled Product of Israel, which are known to be produced entirely in the Israeli-occupied West Bank. Last March, David Kattenberg, also a son of a Holocaust survivor, had discovered that the Liquor Control Board of Ontario was permitting the sale of two offending brands and filed a complaint with the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. For Kattenberg, this matter is a rule of law issue and cannot be allowed to stand.
The purpose of CIFTA is to reduce trade barriers, and truthful product labeling on Canadian store shelves is not a trade barrier. You can't call a California wine, say a California wine is product of Canada, and you can't call a settlement wine made in Israel. CIFTA does not trump in any way, shape, or form Canadian product labeling law.
The CFIA initially supported Kattenberg's claims and in July directed the LCBO to discontinue the sale of the settlement wines until the labeling issue could be resolved. Within days, the CFIA reversed its decision, saying that the sale of the incorrectly labeled wine was permitted by a provision of the Canada-Israel Free Trade Agreement. Kattenberg disputes this claim.
Israel does not have the rights to normalize its de facto annexation and to claim sovereignty. And Canada, the Canadian government, shouldn't be allowing it to. And by allowing it to do that, it is, in effect, endorsing Israel's annexation, endorsing the settlement, which are flagrantly illegal and which Canada is duty-bound under the Fourth Geneva Convention, Article 1, to uphold and to hold Israel accountable for.
Kattenberg has filed an application for judicial review on October 24th and is awaiting a proper hearing at the Federal Court of Canada. Our final headline comes from Gunarji O'Sullivan and Anushka Asadi from Wind Spirit Whispers on Co-op Radio, broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish territory. They report on the reaction to the BC NDP government's approving of the controversial Site C hydroelectric dam project, projected to flood nearby lands and displace Indigenous communities.
Her name is Rita Wong. She's here with us on Wind Spirit Whispers. Hello, Rita. How are you?
I've been better. Today's a heartbreaking day.
And why is it a heartbreaking day?
Many people had hoped that the NDP government would stop the dam. I attended the BC Utilities Commission review that happened, and there was enough evidence from that review to have reasons to cancel the dam. What was lacking in the announcement today was the political will to cancel the dam, though, unfortunately.
What are some of the repercussions of this decision, just for our listeners to get an idea of why this is so heartbreaking for you today?
To be clear, the First Nations people at Ground Zero in Treaty 8, where the dam would be built, the West Moberly and Prophet River First Nations, have announced today that they'll be moving forward with a legal case. And it's heartbreaking because they shouldn't have to spend millions of dollars on legal battles for a fight that shouldn't even have to be fought. We are party to treaties, and we are supposed to honor those treaties. It is unfair and unethical, I would argue, to force people to fight legally to protect the land and the inheritance for their children.
This decision is now being fought in the courts by the West Moberly and Prophet River First Nations. Stay tuned to Groundwire and Co-op Radio for updates. That's it for headlines. We'll be right back after this.
like clouds in the sky. Some fine day we two will pass by. So dirty ride through apartheid, another dirty ride. On this dirty ride through apartheid, another dirty ride. Don't let it be, don't let it be. If we let it, it will be. And all this wall stands so tall. If we push it, it will fall. Don't let it be, don't let it be. If we let it, it will be. And all this wall stands so tall. Push together, it will fall. On this dirty ride. Another dirty ride, oh, oh, oh. On this dirty ride. Oh, 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 oh. An image too hard to see, so sensoriality, and call it the path to equity. So share. Speak your mind, defend your stance on Palestine. It's time for you to self-define. As we shift like clouds in the sky, some fine day we too will pass by. So dirty ride through apartheid, another dirty ride. Don't let it be, don't let it be. If we let it, it will be. Though this wall stands so tall, if we push it, it will fall. Don't let it be, don't let it be. If we let it, it will be. Though this wall stands so tall, push together and it will fall. You say good fences make good neighbors, but they don't. They take your orchards and your homes, they take your homes. You say good fences make good neighbors, but they don't. They take your lives, they take your lives, they take your lives. On this dirty ride. Dirty ride, oh, oh, oh. On this dirty ride, oh, 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 oh. These lives are low, these lives are low, these lives can't hide. These lives are low, these lives are low, low,
Welcome back to Groundwire, your source for news from the ground up. Available online at www.groundwirenews.ca and airing on your community radio station. You just heard Apartheid by the Ottawa-based group Three Little Birds. Our first feature story comes from the city of Montreal, where the streets have poured out for Jerusalem. We'll turn to Jewish and Palestinian voices on their reaction to Trump's announcement to declare the occupied city of Jerusalem the capital of the state of Israel.
Can you tell me what you see here and where we're at right now?
The building behind us is the building that houses the U.S. consulate in Montreal.
Yeah, what do you see here? Police. How many? How many would you guess you see?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
People of Montreal gathered outside of the American consulate on Thursday, and they're back here today on Sunday.
It's only been a couple days since Trump made his announcements, and I'm wondering if you can comment about, one, the Montreal mobilization and their reaction to this announcement, but also the reaction of the Canadian government and what you've heard here on the streets.
I think there is a huge rejection for this American unilateral decision on their behalf to move what's not theirs, really, I mean, to occupied territories such as Jerusalem. As for the implication, I mean, look, it doesn't really make a difference for the Palestinians whether Trump really announces that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel or not. It's not his to announce anything about. So the struggle will continue. It's occupied. Just because the U.S. decided this doesn't really make a difference for the Palestinians. They will still continue their struggle. So,
what have you heard in terms of a reaction on the streets here in Montreal to the reaction or lack of reaction of the Canadian government to Trump's announcement?
Well, it's shameful. I mean, a lot of people are really disappointed, but it's not surprising at the same time. I mean, in the case of Trudeau is a very good dear friend of Netanyahu. He came out against BDS, the boycott of Israel, condemned the boycott of Israel, even though it's a democratic legitimate tactic for citizens to do. He came against that, and he condemned the people that are conducting such boycott against the state of Israel, apartheid state of Israel. So it's not really surprising.
Let's remember, the state of Israel does not represent world Jewry. Nothing they do is condoned in Jewish religion. Whenever we see once again an expansion of this occupation, it concerns us as Jewish people, since we strongly believe that this is a violation of our religion. Now, when we're talking about recognizing the holy city of Jerusalem as the capital of this wicked anti-religious movement,
that report was filed by Gretchen Key. Our next feature comes from CKUW. The City of Winnipeg recently authorized a dramatic increase in the cost of transit ridership, leaving the community's most vulnerable members feeling like they've been just thrown under the bus in order for the city to manage its fiscal operations. Michael Welch from radio station CKUW 95.9 FM has been monitoring the situation and files this report.
In late November, transit users in the city of Winnipeg got blindsided, not by irresponsible motorists, but by an announcement the city of Winnipeg was planning to increase bus fares by 25 cents to almost $3 a ride. The monthly adult bus pass would go up in price from $90.50 to $100.10. Plans in the city's budget for 2018 would see not only the cost of bus travel increase, but some routes would be cut, leaving Winnipeg commuters paying more money for less reliable service. Winnipeg Mayor Brian Bowman claimed he had no choice given revenue shortfalls from commitments to restrict property tax increases to the rate of inflation. Significantly, the province of Manitoba, under Progressive Conservative Premier Brian Pallister, pulled out of a commitment to fund half of Winnipeg Transit's operating costs, according to a formula put in place in the 1970s. This would leave the city with an $8.3 million shortfall. Josh Brandon is the chair of Make Poverty History Manitoba, a coalition of social justice groups operating principally in Manitoba but committed to the elimination of poverty. He argues that the poor are being disproportionately affected by the fare increases. He spoke in delegation to Winnipeg City Council on December 12th in opposition to the budget and its provision to hike the cost of transit.
So much of the pressure onto the city government. But I also ask you at the same time, don't then offload that responsibility onto the most vulnerable households in this city.
Low-income Manitobans, low-income Winnipeggers, don't have the opportunity to cut back anywhere else in their budget. They don't have anybody else to put that shortfall onto. They're putting it onto their kids. They're putting it onto themselves, and that's a really there's a moral problem with that.
Joseph Cornelson is chair of Functional Transit Winnipeg, a grassroots nonprofit advocating for improvements to public transit in the city. He took exception to the fare increase.
In 2018, Edmonton is contributing $235 million to their transit network.
In 2016, Ottawa contributed $220 million to their transit network. These are regular annual contributions to transit service. If Winnipeg was contributing proportionally the same as these cities, the contribution to this budget would be about $170 million. Instead, the preliminary budget is recommending $65 million.
Newcomer and Indigenous community members who tend to be more reliant on transit faced disproportionate challenges as well.
Yesterday, we stood outside for a rally in a real feel of negative 20, which is especially remarkable for me as an international student from Jamaica. But this shows our commitment to the issue and how deeply it affects us. I've read a few studies that have shown that social isolation is one of the most debilitating effects of poverty. The 25-cent increase will surely keep some families in the cycle of poverty as it cuts them off from social services and social interaction.
So also did people with disabilities.
People with disabilities use the bus to access medical appointments, employment opportunities, shopping, social and recreational opportunities. When we are employed, we are more likely to work in service sector jobs, which typically pay minimum wage. So again, increased bus fares will have an impact.
Not all of the delegation spoke against the fare hike. Lauren Remillard is president and CEO of the Winnipeg Chamber of Commerce.
Unfortunately, there are those that contend we should again forego measures to support our small business and redirect the meager savings to fix a larger systemic challenge. That's just bad politics in place of good policy. Few things are as effective in combating poverty as a good job. The business tax measures in Budget 2018 help our small businesses create those jobs that elevate community-wide prosperity. At the same time, they elevate the city's tax base. Any retraction from the budget's small business tax measures is simply cutting off your nose to spite your face.
Josh Brandon disagrees with this stance.
Well, you know what takes money out of the pockets of business is when their customers don't have money. And so low-income people, every dollar they get goes right back into our local economy. If you want to grow local small businesses, put money in the pockets of poor people. They'll spend it locally. They're going to go to grocery stores. They're going to get their haircuts. They're going to support local businesses. And that's how we grow our economy. And we also need to provide good jobs for local people as well. If we had better minimum wage, that would also that money would also go back into the local economy.
One positive outcome was that the city will no longer cut bus routes. However, the budget featuring a 25-cent hike in fares passed on the 12th and is set to go into effect on January 1st of 2018. From Winnipeg, on the occupied territory of the Anishinaabeg and the Nihiyawak, and the homeland of the Red River Métis, this is CKUW's Michael Welch for Groundwire.
Thanks to CKUW for that report. That's it for features. We'll be right back after this.
Will you overcome everything you undergo or disappear in this space? Yeah!
You just heard Rise by The Narcissists and Hamdan Al-Abri. Welcome back to Groundwire, your source for independent grassroots news available online at www.groundwirenews.ca and airing on your local community radio station. Now it's time for our community radio report. Dan and Mary Lou Smoke, originally from Six Nations and Batchewana Bay Reserves, are media activists and longtime members of the urban Indigenous community of London, Ontario. For nearly 30 years, they have aired their award-winning radio program, Smoke Signals, using Western University's CHRW's broadcasting facilities. In this report, Groundwire looks back at Smoke Signals with Dan and Mary Lou Smoke, speaking at the Future of Indigenous Broadcasting Conference held at the University of Ottawa. The Smokes discussed their efforts to build community through radio and why they have devoted most of their adult lives to this critically important work.
Where I come from, when we greet one another, we say Bujol. So Bujol. Hassanyanas Kwe and Dejnakas, Makwa Dodam, Batchewana Bay Dunjaba. Ready? Okay, for those of you who don't speak Canadian, I'm going to translate what I said in the original Ojibwe language that has been on Turtle Island for at least 15,000 years. I said that my name is Shooting Star Woman, I'm Bear Clan, and I originally come from Batchewana Bay, Ontario, which is on beautiful Lake Superior, and I'm very honored to be sitting beside my husband, who we're going to celebrate 40 years of marriage this summer. I was thrilled when I saw the brochure for the presentations, and I saw Alex Trebek's name there, and I'm going to Dan. I said, Alex Trebek is going to be there, and I was just jumping up and down because I met Alex Trebek when I was 18 years old, and I had previously been Miss Native Toronto back then, and I was invited to participate in this Miss Caravan contest, and I met Alex Trebek, and I had to be interviewed by him. And he asked me all kinds of questions, but one question he asked me was, what is red power? And I said, that's pretty good, I guess, because I didn't know what red power was. You know, I grew up in an area where it was whiteicized. There was the priests, the church, the schools didn't have any proper history. Nobody knew what happened to the Native people except for what was written in the books. And if there had been opportunities for me to listen to a radio station 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and I could have learned the things that my husband and I share when we were on the radio, I could have answered that question to Alex Trebek. But now it's my turn to share that knowledge with everybody else, and hopefully Alex remembers when he hears. Miigwech.
Where I come from, we say sago. So sago. Asanyanis and Dishnakas, Kildare, Dodam, Six Nations, Grand River, Dinjaba. My spirit name is Shooting Star in the Seneca language. I'm a member of the Kildare clan, part of the Sandpiper family, and I come from the Grand River Six Nations territory. The way we got started was due to the misrepresentation of the Mohawk people at Ganasatage, at Oka. And it was funny because the journalists called it the Oka crisis because they didn't know how to say Ganasatage. So immediately, Mary Lou and I, we were starting to become very interested in it because we had heard about this crisis. And it turns out that there was this fella in our circle who was a radio host on an environmental show on at our station, CHRW, 94.9 FM, London, Radio Western. And he kept coming up to us and he kept saying, Dan, Mary Lou, I want to give you guys a 15-minute window to say anything you want to say about what's happening in Ganasatage. And I felt like Annie, and I said, no, I don't think I want to say anything on radio. It's not my place. And he kept after us, and then we thought, well, geez, for 15 minutes, maybe we do have something to say. So we went to the elders, in the London area, and we asked them for permission. And they says, Dan Merlu, we'll, you know, we want you to take this very seriously, because what you're going to be doing is you're going to be using your words, your language, your communication to, I mean, in a good way, you could use it in a good way, or you could use it in a destructive way. So we hope that you use it in a good way. So always have the good mind when you're on the air. So we thought, geez, for 15 minutes, we should be able to keep our senses about us and keep our cool. So we went on the air. And for 15 minutes, I don't know, I think the right from the start, it wasn't enough time. We were running out of time. And so.
You were listening to Dan and Mary Lou Smoke of Smoke Signals. Tune into Smoke Signals each Sunday night at www.chrwradio.ca. Since 2008, Groundwire has been on air, produced and distributed by an experienced team of community radio news volunteers. The National Coordination Team is seeking new members of all experiences who would like to join in the collaborative production of Canada's only syndicated community radio news program. Groundwire is an award-winning program produced bi-weekly by and for community radio stations. Groundwire is a reliable, high-quality newscast dedicated to grassroots coverage, offering social justice views on issues that engage local and national audiences. Groundwire's priority is to connect diverse communities from coast to coast to coast and encourage self-representation. With this volunteer position, Groundwire offers an excellent opportunity to network at a national level with community media journalists and community radio stations across Canada. Join the Groundwire National Coordination Team. Visit www.groundwirenews.ca and click on Contribute for details. That's it for this edition of Groundwire, produced by the National Coordination Team in Montreal on the traditional territory of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabe Nations. Music this week was by Narsi and The Three Little Birds. We thank all of our amazing contributors who were part of this episode. Tune in again to hear Groundwire on your local community radio station or download online bi-weekly at www.groundwirenews.ca.